Speak message on Mother's Day, and the text I'm going to have is very two short verses from the Bible. It's taken from 2 Timothy, and the children, you may go to your classes. Thank you. So for those who are in the sanctuary, if you have the Bible with you, please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, and then later I'm going to read from chapter 3 verse 14 to verse 15. All right, let's read this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." And we turn to chapter 3, verse 14 to verse 15. Verse 14 says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have learned, or you have known rather, the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, today is Mother's Day, and we are here to honor Lord, you and also the mother through the word, through the scripture. And so I pray, Lord, that you prepare the hearts of the people to receive your word, and you anoint your servant to speak your word with clarity, and that the word will touch the hearts of the people, and that they will receive your word, and they will yield forth good fruit. That every word that is spoken, Lord, in faith, out of your scripture, will not return to you void, but will accomplish your purpose and your will. And I pray, Father, for your special grace to come upon every mother, that whatever they need, Lord, to go through, whatever situation that they need to overcome, Lord, that you give them the grace and the wisdom, Lord, to do those things, and that they may know and then they learn how to draw the strength and the grace from you. So today, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit will come and help me to deliver the word to glorify the Father and the Son, in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. All right, as I said, today is Mother's Day, and we are gathered here together this morning to for two main reasons. And the first and foremost is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ through our worship. And then the second is, of course, I would like to take some time to honor all mothers through God's Word. And the title of my Mother's Day message is A Mother Who Loves. Alright, I hope to deliver a short message, because at the end of the sermon, we have something prepared for mothers as a gesture of honoring them. Now, it is also a day of remembering, a day of greeting, and a day of expression of love. Mother's Day is the third most celebrated holiday of the year after Christmas and Easter. According to statistics, possibly about 145 million greeting cards were sent, and $14.6 billion was spent on gifts and on food. And out of that, 69% of these gifts were on flowers. And also was told that telephone companies tell us that on Mother's Day is by far the busiest day of the year. And so I begin by saying, a very happy and blessed Mother's Day to all mothers. The true value of a mother is often underappreciated or not fully appreciated. And mothers is one of the toughest jobs today, as you have watched the video. And when God created mother, he had the following specification in mind for mothers. And the first is, she must be able to perform all of the following tasks. She must be a chauffeur, a nurse, teacher, comforter, family counselor, cleaner, housekeeper, a cook, errand runners, interior decorator, caterer, dietitian, the secretary, and hostess, and the list just goes on and on. So there's a lot of requirement, and she's supposed to work 7 days a week, and on call 24 hours, anytime, any place. No annual leave, no sick leave, no pay, and no superannuation. And in fact, last year we put up a short video from the YouTube to honor the mothers on Mother's Day. And that particular video actually kind of advertise and show what the job description are and advertise for people to apply for a job. And it was actually a US-based company that placed a classified advertisement looking for someone to perform that particular task. Now, of course, the real title of the job was concealed. Instead, it was given a very high-sounding title called the Director of Operation, so as to attract as many applicants as possible. And so they posted it online on the newspaper and also on the internet. And 2.7 million people actually saw the advertisement, but only 24 people responded and called up to inquire about the job. And the reason for such a poor response was simple. Imagine 2.7 million saw the advertisement, only 24 people call up to inquire about the job. As I said, the reason for such a poor response was very simple, because the initial job description and requirement were simply too demanding. The interviews were actually conducted online via webcam, and it listed briefly 7 main requirements without mentioning any pay initially. And so the first requirement is mobility, able to stand up most of the time and constantly on your feet and bending over. And the second requirement is that you must have high level of stamina, be able to work at least 135 hours each week, 7 days a week, and on call 24 hours a day. And most of the time, there is actually no break. And the third thing is you are required to have good interpersonal skills. Fourth, you must be able to work in a very chaotic environment. And fifth, the preferred skills or qualification in the area of nursing, budgeting, cooking, so on and so forth. Sixth area is the workload will actually increase during school holiday. You're not going to have rest on holidays or school holidays. And then the seventh area is there's no vacation. And so during the webcam interview, most applicants responded to this job with unbelief. And they say, you know, this is cruel, almost insane, inhumane. And near the end of the interview, the interviewer revealed the pay of this particular job. He said, pay is nil, pays nothing. And the interviewee were actually shocked and with unbelief and replied, he said, excuse me, what did you say? And another one interviewee said, no one would do such a job for free. And the interviewer then finally reveal that there are billions of people currently doing this job and holding this job. There are none other than mothers. And so truly, mothers are the unsung heroine who quietly go about their God-given responsibility without seeking or looking for any applause. Now, for moms to do this job for free, the only motivation is love. So God somehow has put into this intrinsic value of love into the mother, the love for her children. And it was just so natural and so spontaneous for mothers to love and to protect their children. And see, we see many of these stories in the Bible, and I just want to bring up a few of them for illustration. And the first example is actually the mother of Moses. She risked her life to save her son. During the time of Moses, there was a Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he commanded that every male child born was to be cast into the river, the male child of the Hebrew family. But Moses' mother risked her life. She defied the king's order, evil order. She hid her son, her baby, and protected her in order to save Moses. And then the second story was actually a prostitute mom, and she was willing to give her baby away than to see the baby harm. You can read this in 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, during the time of Solomon, there were two prostitute mothers, and each of them gave birth to a baby, and one of the baby died, and the mother of this baby then stole and claimed the other surviving baby as her own. So there was a dispute, and this dispute was brought before King Solomon for judgment. And King Solomon said that since it cannot be readily ascertained whom the baby belongs to, he planned to cut the baby into two and give each half to the mother. And so the mother of the surviving baby said no, and she was willing to have her baby taken away by the other woman rather than see any harm done to her own child. And so in this story, we can see the sacrificial love of the mother who appeared before King Solomon. And then, of course, the third story is the two disciples of Jesus, James and John's mother. And also, she loved her children very much. And being mothers, she was very concerned about the future for her children. And so one day, she personally approached Jesus and began to ask him to grant them the position of high position and honor to be seated on Jesus' side in the heavenly kingdom. And so, fourth story, there was a Phoenician woman, and her daughter was demon-possessed severely. And she went to Jesus for help. And Jesus first responded with very unwelcome and offensive remarks to test her. And she was totally undeterred. And she willingly endured all the offensive remarks and would not accept no for an answer. And so she kept persisting to plead Jesus for help. And she finally got the help she wanted and won the praise of Jesus. All the above examples go on to show the spontaneous and the sacrificial love of a mother. Now, as children, we all have expectation of what a mother should be. We expect mother to be there when we need her most. And we also expect her not to be there where we don't want her to be around, especially during our teenage years. And mother is a person who knows almost everything, because if she doesn't, she will make sure she'll go and find out those things. And so it is interesting how the children relate and perceive their mother so differently through the years as they grow up. So let me give you some example. Now, at the tender age of 4, we often hear children say, "My mom can do anything." Then when they grow to the age of 12 or 13, they begin to say, "My mom doesn't know many things." And at age of 16, they will say, "Mom doesn't know anything at all." And at age of 18, they will say, "Mom is old, so old-fashioned, out of touch, and out of step with times." And at the age of 25, they begin to be more sensible, and they say, "Well, mom knows a few things." As they grow to age 35, they'll say, "Before we decide, let's ask mom about her opinion." And age 45, they say, "I wonder what mom would say about this." At the age of 65, when their mom were no longer on earth, they say, "I wish I could talk with my mom." And so, mothers are actually a link to God. It is a child's first impression of God's love. And mothers are developers of personalities, molders of characters, and shapers of attitudes. And there is no other job in the world as rewarding and also as heartbreaking as a mother. No other job will have the influence or the impact on children like parents do. And so, when 90% of the teenagers were being interviewed, 90% of them say, who influenced them the most? And they still say their mothers. And mothers do not fully realize how much they influence and teach their children. And so I'm going to give you some examples, some of the hilarious things what our mothers taught us. Example number one, mother taught us about God. Now, in what way? Because mothers often say, you better pray to God that the stains will come off the carpet. Mothers also taught us about female logic, because they say, because I say so, that is why. And mothers also taught us about stamina. They say, you will sit there until you finish all your food. And mothers also taught us appreciation. Say, don't complain. In this world, there are millions of less fortunate children than you. Mothers also taught us about fear of authority. Just wait until your dad gets home. And mothers also taught us about anticipation. You are going to get it when you get home. And you are just wondering what you're going to get when you reach home. And mothers also taught us about wisdom. When you get to my age, son, you will understand. Normally, father goes out to work while the mothers attends to the household chore. And so, therefore, mothers would spend more time with their children than the dad. So the influence of the mother is therefore more than the father. Mother has the most opportunity to personally spend time with her children during their formative years. And it has been said, no other force in the life of a child is as strong as the influence of the mother. And U.S. First President George Washington said of her mother, all that I am, I owe it to my mother. I attribute all my life success to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Abraham Lincoln, another past president of the United States of America, said, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayer, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. And therefore, mothers, you are not just carrying an ordinary domestic role. Your role has far-reaching impact effects, potentially impacting the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. The influence that you have can be a godly one or can be a worldly one. And therefore, this morning, I want to talk about a few things that as Christians, mothers, what you can do to influence your children in a godly way. So moms, if you have this attribute, God will be pleased with you, because you will be a big blessing to your children, and that blessing will be visited upon their children and their children's children. And that is God's promise. And men and husband, you have to support and encourage your wife as mother of your children to develop those attributes so that your family will be blessed. And so, for mothers who love, I admonish you to do these three important but very simple things. First, set good examples for them to follow. And a famous and a respected preacher named Campbell Morgan had four sons, and they all become good, respected preachers. At a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, which Morgan is the greatest preacher? And the son looked at the father's friend and replied, mother. Then, or rather, what he meant was not that his mother actually preached a sermon from a pulpit, but that she preached to them through the fine examples that she set for them at home. And through that, she made the greatest impact on their lives. And Christians' mothers have the important role of setting good example for their children to follow. So mothers, when your children look at you, what do they see? What do they think about your character? What qualities or characters you want to see in your child's life? Be sure, first of all, that you show it in your own life. If you want your child to grow up to be honest and responsible, then you must be honest and responsible. So for example, if you want to avoid a person in a phone call, don't tell your child to say to the person, she is not at home, because you are not setting a good example. If you want your child to grow up to be faithful and responsible to God, obedient to God, then you must be faithful and obedient to God. The example of your life is the most important tool that you have for shaping and molding the character of your child. And doing this takes much time and patience. Children follow more of what the mothers do than what they say. And in the Bible, there was a young believer called Timothy. And the apostle Paul took him under his wing to train him. And Paul could see that sincere faith that was developed in Timothy's life. Why? Because it was exemplified in his mother Eunice and also in his grandmother Louise. Because apostle wrote in that particular verse that we just read, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, he said, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwell first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is also in you. Therefore, moms and also dad, you need to be mindful of what examples that you are setting to them at home." Second admonition, impart God's word into them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to verse 15. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood," note the word, "from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And the young lad Timothy had learned the Holy Scripture from a very young age, from his mother Eunice and also the grandmother Louise. And in the custom of the devout Israelite, grandmother Louise and mother Eunice had teamed up to teach Timothy from a very young, at the toddler age. They most probably must have read him stories about Noah's Ark, about Abraham, Samson, Samuel, David, Ruth, and many other Bible stories. And the Apostle Paul continued to admonish Timothy to continue to learn and grow in God's words, because it is able to make them wise. So do not underestimate the power of just reading God's word to your children or your grandchildren. Because when you do it frequently over time, you are depositing good seeds into their life. Words of God are like good seeds, and it is when you read it to them, the Bible story, you are depositing it into their soul and into their spirit, and at the appropriate time, it would germinate and it will bear forth fruits in their life. And also, of course, you do not have to do it just all by yourself, because when you attend a church regularly, the church will supplement and reinforce what the parents are already doing at home. And therefore, the main responsibility lies with the parents, and there is a significant difference in a child's life as to whom he or she learns the scripture from. A child is more likely to remember and to cherish biblical principles and values taught by his or her own mother or father than what is taught by Sunday school teacher. And to hear the same truth from the lips of your mother or the father gave them the added strong assurance and confidence in what he or she is learning from Sunday school. And this brings me to the third and perhaps the most important way in which a Christian mother should love her children. And that is by praying for them regularly and earnestly. And some children actually have been gloriously saved from sin and eternal death because of their mother's prayer. And one example was Augustine, a 4th century theologian renowned theologian. And Augustine was 17 years old when his father died. And he was a very problematic son who brought a lot of headache to his widowed mother, Monica. And he indulged in wine, in women, and in song. And he went astray and getting involved in Persian cult for many years. And his mother, Monica, never gave up praying for her son. And so she would fast, she would cry, and she would beg God for her son's salvation. And her prayer was answered one day when Augustine was not only saved, but also consecrated himself to the Lord's service. And so mothers, do you know that the greatest impact you can ever have on the life of your child is through prayer for them. So if you really love your child, your children, pray for them regularly. Pray for their salvation if they have not been saved. Pray that they will keep their faith once they have been saved. Ask God for wisdom to raise them up to become a God-fearing person who will love the Lord and do God's will. And pray that God will guide, protect, and bless them and cause them to shine for God in this world. And in the 18th century England, there was a mother named Susanna Wesley. And she had 17 children. Many, many children. 17 children. And she made it a point to spend 1 hour each day shut up alone with God in her room and praying for them. And Susanna raised 2 spiritual giants, revivalist and preacher John and Charles Wesley. And they brought revival to the whole of England. And the Wesley brothers impacted the lives of hundreds and thousands of people, if not in the millions. And they became the founders of the Methodist Church. And up to today, we see hundreds of thousands of Methodist churches throughout the whole world. And the legacy of the Methodist churches still live on today after a few hundred years. And for those families whose children are somewhat grown up already, you may think that it's already too late to do such thing. But last, it's still not too late, because you can still continue to pray for your children as long as they are still alive. Last but not least, children also need to remember their mothers. And so today, my sermon is not meant only to just admonish the mothers, but also, of course, the fathers of their spiritual responsibility. It is also to admonish all of us, children. We have mothers, every one of us have to admonish us to honor and to respect our mothers. Because there's a verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, and that it may be well with you, and that you may live a long life on the earth." And every one of us must remind ourselves that our life starts in the womb of our mothers and receive our first nourishment from our mothers, both inside her womb and also after we were born. And our mothers must continuously care and look after us from child, from birth to adulthood. She provides for us. She attends to our sickness and she nurses us. She clothes us. She cooked for us. She fed us. She cleaned us up, cleaned us and up all the mess and carry out all the household chores and domestic chores. And so you can begin to see why mothering is one of the toughest jobs today. When you have a kid next time, you will begin to experience all of these things in bringing up your children. Notice when the Bible commanded us to honor and to respect our parents, it is an unconditional command. Regardless of what you think of your mother, be it good or bad, You need to honor her for her office because it is a God-ordained office. So think of her years of love, care, and concern in bringing you up. And you know that it is not an ordinary feat. And so, finally, in conclusion, honor your mom by expressing one or more of the following five love languages. Not only on Mother's Day, but also on other days. And it can be very simple things, because it can be one or more of the following. First area is words of affirmation. Verbally tell her that you love her and you appreciate all that she has done for you. And second thing, it can be a simple touch. Give her a big hug or a cuddle. Third area is in the area of time. Take the time and effort and spend quality time with her. And fourth, of course, is one of the most common way of honoring mother is in the area of gifts. Bring her out for lunch, dinner, and buy her a gift. And then, last but not least, an act of service. Do something for her. Help her to vacuum the house. Cook her a meal. Hang out the clothing for her. Serve her coffee or tea, you know, or cook her a dinner, so on and so forth. And so, in closing, once again, mothers, grandmothers, a happy and a very blessed Mother's Day to you all. And may the children rise up and call you blessed. And your husband will also praise you. God bless you. Amen.